Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show.
Persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose, to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions. And now, your host, Anna.
The Real McCoy.
Welcome to The Real McCoy Show, and today I'm glad that you are joining us. If you're listening to our program for the first time, I am your host for today, Shauna Stallworth. I'm standing in for our master coach, Anna McCoy, but I want to share with you, we have a great pre-recorded show for you today. It's entitled Grace Steps, and she's going to share with you a few intimate moments from her particular walk as she followed the grace of the Lord to pursue dreams, visions, and ideas. It's really going to bless your life today. I want to encourage you, if you're listening to our broadcast for the first time, to mark us as a favorite, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. If you don't know about Woman Act Now, the organization, and would like more information about our organization and how we can help coach you through what we call the execution gap toward achieving your dreams, visions, and ideas, I want to encourage you to visit our website at www.womanactnow.com. Find out more about us. Give me a call, 877-751-5700. My extension is 407. I'd like to talk to you more about the organization as well as give you a promo code for a 30-day free trial so that you can begin learn, launching, and living your dreams. Again, our show for today is entitled Grace Steps. Don't touch that dial. Turn it up. Invite a friend over to your cubicle or tweet or Facebook or, you know what, send out a text message to your favorite friend and let them know to listen in as we tune in to Coach Anna McCoy on Grace Steps.
Hopefully they won't be too deep. But if you have questions about business, starting a business, questions about your finances, things that we don't cover. Well, one of the things that 10 keys to kingdom dominion. We were sent here to have dominion, to domain. One of the speakers, I believe it was Pastor Gene, was talking about taxing your domain. If you didn't get that, he says, you control the gateway of what's coming into your kingdom. And the way we see our kingdoms, basically, they start with what we own. Or, better yet, it starts with your home. Basically, whatever's coming through that home, you are now to become the king of your dominion. Doesn't matter whether you're male or female, but the kingdom mentality is neither. It has no gender, okay? So wherever there's a kingdom, you need to understand there is rulership. We domain over this region. We have control over it. And so when he was talking, he says, tax your domain, that place that you have dominion. So Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, our nature. Let them have dominion, rule, responsibility over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps the earth. So here we have a command to be people of rulership and responsibility. Psalms 105:37. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. We talked about last night when he told them, he says, go to your neighbors and ask, and it's going to be like you plundered the Egyptians. He said, they all came out with silver and gold, and none was feeble among them. So even for us, the blessings of Abraham and coming down through the generations, we are to have dominion and rulership over money, over things. We are to control, or we are to have the responsibility in the rulership. Understanding and properly what you're going to learn here in these 10 keys to dominion is understanding and properly utilizing God's purpose and design for money. Don't worry about writing it down, because as we go through the keys, you're going to see it again, okay? Effectively establishing the kingdom of God in the earth through tithes and offering, Deuteronomy 8:18. Faithfully stewarding and managing money and possessions. Developing and operating in godly character. The 10 keys that I'm sharing with you are keys for you to have dominion over money for the kingdom. This isn't just about money, because I've just talked about character, right? The next thing is maintaining righteousness, morality, and integrity. See, we've been talking about coming wealth transfer. We haven't dealt with the acts of the flesh yet. See, and some of us are not winning because we have not mastered the acts of the flesh. And as a result of that, those acts of the flesh keep pushing you back, keep holding you back from achieving what the Lord wants you to have. Understanding and operating in God's ordained purpose for your life. You remember the definition I gave you last night. Purpose is a desire of mind directed toward the fulfillment of godly instruction. Before the foundation of the world, you were preordained. There is a plan. There is a purpose. I know the plan I have for you, declares the Lord. A plan to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope, or a hope in a future. And it says some others, depending on which version you're reading. So there is a plan and a purpose for you. So in order to achieve the plan, remember the definition of purpose. It's a desire of mind directed toward the fulfillment of godly instruction. If you begin to embrace that, you will begin to live a life on purpose. You're living your life on purpose, not to accomplish a purpose. Everything you do is on purpose. You are intentional about the choices that you make. Developing excellence in the high level of quality in your work output. I am endeavoring to touch every part of you. Okay? This isn't just about finances in order for you to dominate in your life and dominate money in the kingdom. We've already talked about the transfer of wealth happening through business. It does not matter what you do on your job. You have a responsibility, and you also have a rulership over that which you have been given authority. It does not matter how low you are on the totem pole or how high you are. You have been given authority to rule in the area that you have been given responsibility. So I want to challenge you today to say, what does that level of quality in your work output looks like? Are you a person of excellence? Number 8 is developing financial intelligence. We've spent these several days talking about wealth transfer from a spiritual and a biblical perspective. Now I want to challenge you to be as awake, to be as alert, and trust me, if you're tired, if you're sleepy right now, you just stand up. You cannot afford to miss this information. See, it's common to you to hear spiritual things, but now I'm going to start talking about the technical side of mastering finances. This is where everybody wants to go unconscious on me. You know, this will be my opportunity to jump off the stage. Next one is maintaining excellent health. See, the reason why this is in here as a part of dominating money for the kingdom, if we cannot use you because you're unhealthy, you cannot get around. Here's the thing about health. It is an immediate barrier to you achieving your purpose. We don't have to figure out anything. It is something that is walking around with you, that is talking with you, that is sleeping with you, that is, you know, it has an intimate relationship with you immediately if you have to deal with sickness, if you have to deal with disease in your body, if you have to deal with pain in your body. So a part of this process of dominating money is handling your business in the area of health. Number 10, fully integrating the Bible, prayer, and your relationship with God into all of your financial affairs. What you will learn as we begin to go through this, and when we talk about the financial stewardship, you are going to understand that you own nothing. And when you really embrace the fact that you own nothing and you begin to integrate prayer, the Bible, into this relationship with your finances, that's what you've been learning for the last 3 days, is the biblical aspect of embracing and moving in faith and moving in belief, all of those things, and saying, you know what, we've all said one similar thing, we haven't done this ourselves. Okay? Why? Because you have to submit those thoughts, ideas, whatever you have to God so that he can instruct you and tell you what to do. When you start moving in the area when you're in business or you're moving in your vision, and I don't want you to get confused, this isn't just about you being in business. This is about you living the best life that you can live. It is about designing the life you want and living the life you design and being the very best that you can be. So I don't want you to get confused, oh, well, she's just talking to the business people. No, I'm talking to you. Yeah, y'all know I can get sassy up here. First one, key principle number one, God's purpose for money. God's purpose for money. God's intention for money, number one, is to glorify himself. We've already talked about, we started that out as Bishop began to share with us, that is to give thanks to God. Our generous giving is to give thanks to God. It is to glorify himself. Whatever we do with our money should bring glory to God. If you're spending your money on things that you know does not bring glory to God, then you're on the other side of this chart. What that looks like is you spending money on things that are satisfying you to the expense of something that should be satisfying others. You know, it breaks down, and if you like, you know, some of these sins now, we can do what we do, and they seem to be private. You know, you like that internet stuff that you think you're doing in private, but God sees all. And you're using your money to invest in pornography and different things like that, whether it's on the internet or it's in person or wherever you might be or any of those things that does not glorify God. You're misusing the purpose of money as a believer. Now, the thing is when you're out there and you're going to be a sinner, be a sinner. Okay? Don't think that you can come over here and play, you know, hopscotch when it's convenient for you. You're not going to be blessed. Establish money. God's intention for money is to establish the kingdom of God. One of the things that I said, and we've heard it through different speakers, is that your money needs to be earmarked. Pastor Gene talked about, I'm going to talk about the 10-10-80. I call it 10-10-80. He broke it up a little more than 10-10-80. He said 10% for tithes, 10% for your savings, 15% for, you know, lifestyle, different things. But I'm going to make it simpler. 10-10-80 is the principle. Our money is to be used to build and establish, rather, the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Where is the kingdom? It's within us, right? It is our ability to draw down instruction from God and establish it up on the earth realm. And the reason why is within the kingdom, within us is the kingdom of God, because God gives us the ability to see into eternity and bring it into time so that the kingdom may be established, whether it's churches, whether it's missions, whether it's ministries, whatever the case may be, whether you're feeding the poor, whatever the case may be that you believe God has called you to help to establish the kingdom. But when we establish the kingdom, it also needs to be a flow where we can share the kingdom. You say, I'm doing this for God, but is there an area within this that there's an opportunity to share the kingdom of God with other people? Providing direction, number three is provision. God's intention is provision. That's what it is. Provision for you to be able to do the things that you need to do. If you get sleepy on me, you just stand up so you can wake up. Get you a bottle of water, put a little water on your face. You know, I know those strawberries and eggs might be getting to you now. Four, you cannot afford to miss this. I'm not going to let you miss this, and you probably figured that out, didn't you? I don't want to see any tonsil. Do you hear me? Okay. Providing direction. Money is used for that. That's God's intention, to provide direction to accomplish the things that he desires to accomplish upon the earth. Serving others. If you think that you can go into business, that God's going to give you a witty invention and a witty idea for your purposes, you're wrong. Business isn't about you. You get to benefit from the opportunity of business. However, business is about others. You are not your own boss, because your customers, your employees, and a few other things become your bosses. And unfortunately, we think, well, I have to answer to other people too. Promote righteousness and enjoyment. What did we talk about the scripture? That he said, that scripture had, I can't remember, y'all know that. Scripture had righteousness in it, but we do what, when we have money, we do it so that others can thank God, right? We give generously. Okay, that wasn't on my notes. I'm just going from my memory. Using other people's stuff. That's what happened to you. Man's intention. This is man's intention for money. Man's intention is that I need security. So I want to keep as much as I can. We talked about being the pipe so that money can flow through you, and as it flows through you, you're going to get what you need. You will have the provision that you need, but it's when you stop one end of that pipe to try to collect it all, you're going after security.
Power up with Coach Anna McCoy. Today's message, detours.
Did you know that life's detours can sometimes save you time? It's true. They can introduce you to new opportunities while still getting you to your intended destination. Consider choosing to take the detour and change the way you see the route. Be open, be curious, and be expectant. So just be mindful of today's journey and try hard not to be frustrated or discouraged by any delays, but rather view them as unintentional treasures.
Power up with Coach Anna McCoy.
Brought to you by the world's largest DoubleTree Resort, Spa, and Hotel on International Drive in Orlando. Plan a conference or bring your family to relax and enjoy a place where you are celebrated and accommodated. African American owned, DoubleTree Resort and Spa, International Drive, Orlando, Florida. Visit DoubleTreeOrlandoIDrive.com. Call 407-352-1100.
All right, listeners, I want to welcome you back, and I want to thank you for listening. I want to welcome our listeners on today, or thank our listeners for listening. I see we have several listeners on the call, and I just want to thank you for listening to the show on today. I gave you a little bit of Kingdom Dominion principles, and now we're going to go on to our intended pre-recorded show for today entitled Grace Steps.
You are loved. You are love
that you experience from me as you communicate, engage with these people. So we are here to touch you. We know that God has given us something very, very special. And I think throughout this day, you're going to have that experience. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to you. These speakers are help, whether it's your dream, whatever the case may be, because I've got something that I want to share with you that I believe is going to bless your life. You know, I'm a woman who I am fully confident, fully persuaded I walk with God. Hey, I don't have any preconceived notions about anyone. It's not my place to judge people. It is my place to walk and to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So what I want you to experience from me by the time I finish in this moment, but throughout the day in every interaction, is the presence of Jesus Christ in my heart. I want you to experience that. I want to model that for you so that you will have that experience. What you is what you get. They call me the real one. You know there's some fake ones out there. So how y'all like my outfit? I just thought, girl, we just going to talk. I want to get all that stuff out of the way that could distract my spiritual wellness. Let me give y'all a model. Thank you.
those of you who pick up the book, you'll be able to read her bio in the jacket of the book. Dr. Anna McCoy is a businesswoman, an inspirational international speaker. She's a life coach. She's a wife, a daughter, a sister, and a friend. But that's not how I would introduce her. I'd like to say that she's an honorable woman, a woman of great price when you find women who are honorable, virtuous women. She's a woman who has discovered her God-given gifts, and she understands her destiny in the Lord. One of the other things I'd say about Anna is that she's a grateful woman, and I appreciate that about her so much, and she has such a gift for maintaining and keeping covenant relationships. She was a member of Crusade Christian Faith Center many years ago. I met her as a young, crazy college student. And today she's a grown-up minister and businesswoman and life coach. And Anna has never forgotten what she received in this house. Now, she's received things from many, many places. There have been many deposits in her life. I'm not sure what we planted and what we watered. I know we had a part of it. And again, it happened many, many times, cycles throughout the year. But she has never forgotten what she received in this house. And that excites me. There's so many people who come through you. And many times they never look back and they never think about what they picked up along the way. But Anna has this unique gift to stay connected. Sometimes if I forget, she never forgets. She never comes to town and not spend time with Bishop or spend time with me. But you're in for such a blessing today because she is truly, in addition to being honorable and grateful and a wonderful wife, mother, sister, and friend, she is God-charged and anointed. I've looked forward to this day. I wanted it for you because I'm in touch with her and connected to her all the time. But I believe that she has something to share with this house today, and it's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Coach Anna McCoy. Would you give her a Crusade Christian Faith Center welcome?
Thank you very much. You know, I was sitting there and I was thinking, Lord, can I preach in this house? Can I teach in this house? I have so many emotions, and every time I come up to speak, you know, so I'm going to do my very best to manage those emotions. Because even as I look around this room and I think of all of the leaders and the pastors and individuals who, I mean, they love me so much. Oh, my God. Someone recently asked me, she said, Anna, do you cry? Yes. You know I shouldn't have put any mascara on today. Because I knew, I thought I'd be, you know, really cool. But, you know, when I look around the room and I see your faces, I see the children who were children and they're adults and they're moving in destiny and purpose. And Mercedes, I saw her over on the clarinet and I just thinking about it, you know. The lives that you have touched as leaders in this church that you may not know, Pastor Christina, Pastor Lorraine, Pastor Ford, Evangelist Harper, Pastor Jerry. Man, there are so many of you. Man, you have touched my life so deeply, so very deeply. I am so very grateful to you. There is no place on earth that I can go without carrying you with me. Everybody know where I'm from? Shoot. Everybody know. I don't be keeping it no secret. I say, these are my people. And so I just want you to know, I had to get that out of the way so I can get where I'm going. But I'm just so grateful to be here. I don't take it lightly that I'm here, but I'm so excited to share with you what God has shared with me. Boy, for years, just growing and maturing, and oh boy, y'all had something to deal with, you know? Y'all had something to deal with up in here. But I just want you to know, if nobody else tells you that your time, your talent, all of your resources, all of your pain and suffering, even just thinking about, come on, girl, come on, we can do this. You can get farther. You can do better. Pastor Lloyd, you have no idea. I have words from you just that, you know, we just crazy about keeping them journals and notes and things, and you have no idea. So I just want you to know that I'm so very grateful. So what I'm going to talk to you about today, what God has been doing in my life so many years, I'm so excited. I got to get this out the way, too, because if anybody knows me, there's one person in my life that I cannot leave out, and that is my sweetheart. Hot dog it. Y'all got me ready for that man. And let me tell you, when Pastor met him, you know, he's a man of few words. You could probably guess what he said. He looked at Richmond, and he says, she's yours now. My friend said, what do you mean? I said, you'll find out. No explanation required. You'll find out. And, you know, he tells me I need to come back for a tune-up every now and then. But my husband, Richmond, oh, my gosh, he is, let me tell you, you're looking at him today. You are looking at this man. He called me this morning. He want to let me know what God wants me to preach about. Every time I get up, he's got a word from God for me. And he's so funny. Let me get it out of the way because I'm going to go on and do my thing when I finish talking about my sweetheart. But he called me this morning, so he sends his love and his greetings to all of you. But he says, now, friend, and I'm going to preach out of this today because the man has obviously heard from God, and I did not. So I'm going to preach his message for him since he couldn't fly here to be with you. But he called me this morning. He says, honey, what did you get from God? And I said, nothing. He said, don't worry about it, baby. I got you back. He said, the Lord said for you to speak. This was yesterday, actually. He said, the Lord wants you to speak out of Genesis 12. He said, did you read it? I said, I read it. And he could try to get deep. Oh, did you read it before you went to sleep? I said, yeah. He said, so you slept on it? I said, yeah. So this morning he says, well, what you get? I said, nothing. So I didn't get a thing, but I'm going to preach on it anyway. And maybe the Lord's going to give it to me. He's just going to drop it in when I start preaching. And so, but my sweetheart, he is, let me tell you, he is the love of my life. I would do nothing to violate my relationship with my husband. That's how much I care about him. Anything that looks like it's a threat to this relationship, it can no longer remain in our environment. Because I love him, I know he's assigned to me, and I'm assigned to him. And I'm going to do everything I can to keep my assignment, because I love him. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, I lose focus. So, Richmond, if you watch this tape, you know I've talked about you, honey. So, Father, I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to be a witness for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you will have your way, Father. I thank you, Father, if but one, an audience of one, that will hear your voice through me, Father, that a life will be changed. A life will be directed and instructed into the right direction. So, Father, I bless you today, and I honor you. I honor this house. I honor our bishop and Pastor Jerry for nurturing and caring for me. So, Father, we bless you as we feed into your people. Holy Spirit, teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'd like you to turn to Genesis 12. I'm an obedient wife, too. Hot diggity. Genesis 12. Because I know my friend is over there praying for me because he loves his wife and he misses me. And he probably got Ricky and Tommy bowed down praying and praising God, too. That's my little dogs. Y'all like, girl, I didn't know you had some babies. Yeah, I got two. I have one daughter, Daryl. She doesn't get much mentioned because she's an adult. You know how you talk about your kids when they're little? But when they become adults, you don't have it. Just move on. And then they're going to come back in another season of life, and you're going to have a whole lot to say about them when they look like me. Oh, I'm so proud of you. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got enough to say. So, but my sweetheart, Daryl's doing great. She'll be graduating from Emory University. She's a beautiful, beautiful young woman and is committed. So I want you to go to Genesis 12. The Lord has said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Verse 2, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Verse 4, so Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. My message, it's not too late to dream. And I believe that as we read the scripture about Abraham, or Abram at that time, we understand that we see someone who basically is an individual who has established himself and probably is on the other side of his life of just kind of resting and just moving through life. But God calls him to a dream. He calls him to an assignment. He calls him to a vision. See, my heart is about getting you to dream again. So I believe that even when my sweetheart, I don't know, he didn't even explain, but what I got is that, you know what? It's not too late. It's time to dream. It's time for you to see that there's more for you to do. So I'm going to start and work my way back from the 75-year-old to the 20-year-old to the 14-year-old because it's not too late to what? Dream. So when we talk about this journey of Abram, he accumulated many, many things. Can you imagine some of us in that place in our lives that, you know, we seem like we're there. We've done everything that we want to do, and now, I don't know, maybe we play with our grandkids. Now Abram's trying to, you know, the Lord going to speak to him because he's got more to do. He's got more to do. Now he's 75 here, and he has plenty of time to do what God has called him to do. That he doesn't even know at this time when God calls him out of the familiar into the unfamiliar. He has no idea what God has in store other than saying, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make, and as we read further, we understand that God also is going to bless his seed, and then they will become like the sand. You can't even begin to count them. And I'm sure even at that moment when God said go, he can make an account for everything that he owned. Because the Bible says that he took what? All that he had accumulated, all of his possessions, all of his people, all his stuff. He took it with him. So today is your day to be called out of the familiar into an unfamiliar place. I want you to go over to Acts the 11th chapter. So just hold that for a second. It's time to dream again. I got so much for you. I don't know what he's going to give you, but I got a lot. Amen. We read in chapter 11, Acts 11. I'm going to just set up some stage, and I'm going to take you on. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that, I'm in 11:1, heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. One of the things that happened to Abram, he received the word of God. He received the instruction of God. But there must be a place in your life that you must get in order to hear what God has to say to you. So when we're talking about moving you from the familiar to the unfamiliar, there's something in between that will get you there. That is your ability to hear what God has to say. Once you begin to hear him, then you have to determine, will I receive the word? Now, we know how that works in our life. If you have children, you ask them, honey, go do this. And they do not move. They do not receive the word. They be nodding and looking at you, you know, and that husband and wife thing, they be like, But they do not receive the word. Knowing that you have received the word, you will show productivity. You will show movement in your life. Let me help you again. Come on back to number 11:2. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, and the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. So now what is happening to Peter? He's doing somewhat unfamiliar things. But he received what? The word of the Lord. When you receive the word of God, you start to move. You start to put your faith into what? Action. But, you know, I'm not going to tell you, you won't be challenged, because you will. There's a big gap between hearing God, receiving the word, and doing the word. So he says in 11:4, Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. How many of you have been in a trance? Now, I know y'all probably thinking that's something real, real deep, huh? That old Peter was sitting up there and he just got in the trance. Trust me, you stay there long enough, you're going to see something too. But many of us, God has showed us just a glimpse. That trance is a glimpse of what God wants you to do. But have you been able to what? Catch it. Okay, so he says, he shows him, he gets caught in a trance, and I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. Now, it's important that you understand that Peter consistently uses the word saw, see. See, saw, perception. He sees the picture. He sees a vision. He's seeing something. Okay? Then he says, I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me. See, you know, God is so awesome. And I know in my journey I have learned to see what God says. What happened here? He saw this vision. He saw this sheet. He saw these four-footed animals. And then he what? Heard. A part of the lesson today is getting to the place where you can see what God says. You want to become the architect of your life. When a word is spoken to you, you must begin to see what God says. So he says here, the word says, then I heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter. No, Peter, I know you just standing there in that trance. Just stay where you are, Peter. Stay in this place of the familiar. Stay in what you know. Stay in all the things you've been doing for the last 10 years. Just stay right there, Peter. Staying here won't get you where God wants you to go. Staying here won't get you into the place and the destiny of what God has for you. Staying here, Abram, when I tell you to get up and move, won't get you where I want you to go. Because if you stay here, Abram, so I'll let you fill that gap in. Get up, Peter, kill and eat. Boy, you know, when you think about what God told him, he says, Peter, you got to move, but more than moving, Peter, you are going to have to do something you have never done before. Peter, no, I don't want you to be nice about it. You're going to have to get ugly about this, Peter. You are going to get crazy about this. You're going to have to pull something in you that you didn't know exists because you're going to have to go after it and destroy it. He says, you're going to have to kill it. Now I want you to eat it. I'm like, okay. And this is where most of us lie. We live our lives. Right here. Verse 8. We're happy over here, Lord. Come on now. We're moving along. We're chilling. We got this, you know, I got all my systems down. I know all the laws you told me I need to learn. I'm doing what you told me to do. Don't be trying to ask me to do nothing else. But I know I hear from you, God. I know I saw this vision. I know I heard what you said. But wait a minute. Hold up. Hold up. So number 8. I replied, and that would be Peter. Surely not, Lord. You didn't tell me to get up and eat or kill nothing, did you? Y'all know that that wasn't God. Most of us live in the gap. That wasn't God. Surely not, Lord. Surely you wouldn't ask me to do this. Surely there's someone else who can do this, Lord, but not me. I've got other things to do. I got these kids to take care of. You know, I'm a single mother. I don't have time for dreams and visions. Surely not, Lord. Find somebody else. So he says, nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth. Now, this is it's so amazing to me when I read the scripture here, and Peter knows he's having a conversation with God. It's not like he's confused. He knows he's talking to God. He, you know, we're in relationship here. But surely not, Lord. Don't you know how I eat? You know what I like. I don't eat no pig feet and stuff right now. Don't be trying to give me no chitlins. I'm in the healthy eating, God. Haven't you seen my habits? I've been going to the Whole Foods Market. You know, I don't roll like that, God. Come on. But I'm amazed that he's talking to God. And when we hear the voice of God, you know, God is so persistent. It's his character. You think you're persistent, but God is really persistent. So he goes back. He says, when, verse 9, the voice spoke from heaven a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened not two times, but three times. And then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Now, when God's ready to pull you out of the familiar, well, when we read the next verse, you're going to see something. And this is really the courage that you need to have about where God is wanting to take you in your life. When we talk about fulfilling the destiny and the purpose that God has called for our lives, he always has someone there at the same time that he is preparing you, as he's speaking to you, as he's really, you know, come on. He got you. He said, just come on. I need you to do this for me. At the very same time, something else is occurring over here. Many of us, we think we're doing it alone, but you're part of the body. And there are other parts that are waiting for you to get in line with your part so that they can do what they're supposed to do, but we really think that we're in this alone. Peter's issue. Peter's just not ready to change. He just want to keep eating vegetables. Verse 11, he says, the word says, right then three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, send to Joppa for Simon,
who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. And what I mean when God he takes us out of that familiar place and he has someone there waiting, we believe it's really us that we have to do this. But I'm here to tell you today, if you'll trust God, if you will trust him to move you to your destiny, there will be someone there to help you. While you are yet thinking, God is already moving over in the north, the east, the south, and the west to bring together what he has purposed for your life. Just as we see here, these men were already in place for him to immediately begin to move into the destiny in which he was called. In verse 15 it says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? But let me tell you what's really important about that. When you think about Peter, and they're in the upper room, and they're praying, and Jesus said, y'all, stay up here. Stay up here, because the Holy Spirit's going to come. Just stay on up there. And here these people. Who are these people? Don't they know what we went through to get this Holy Ghost? Don't they know how long we were up there praying? And here he didn't. I don't even know these people. These aren't even my kind of people. They were not even there. But God decided the same power that I put on you, this same power that I gave you, this Holy Spirit that he pours on them. And he's like, wow, they got the same thing. And if God can do that out of the system in which he first did it, who am I to what? Oppose God. So my question to you today is, who are you to oppose God? It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, but who are you to oppose God? What's going on in your life in this land of familiar that you're so tied to, that you're so bound to, that you're so in love with, that you can't move to a new place? What's going on? So it's time to dream again. My assignment is to stir you up, that there's a dream inside of you, young man. You're not too young. Do you know that young people around the world are doing great things? So whatever God speaks to you, you better speak it loud. Somebody is going to hear and pay attention. Young entrepreneurs in other countries doing great things. Why? Because somebody's believing them. When God speaks, when they say, God spoke to me, and that young person receives that word, they begin, I know you don't understand, they begin writing. Young people are writing books. They're publishing books at the age of 9. Bestseller list. Who are you to oppose God? So, the book is written to help you to begin to dream again. In order for you to begin to dream, you've got to get to the place where you're no longer wishing for things you see. That's easy, y'all. You see something, oh, I wish I had that. Y'all don't be trying to wish for my jacket, my skirt, my little outfit. Hold up. My belt. Don't wish. Go get you a job. I'm going to tell you what the story is. You can have the dream. Here you go. But go get you a job. Go spend your own money and buy your belt. My little nieces look, I said, you're looking too hard. Don't look that hard. You have a job. Because, see, you starting to walk in the path of a wish. Ooh, ain't it but what I wish? Yeah, you can keep wishing. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to determine, are you a dreamer or are you a wisher? I have learned I'm a dreamer. God has given me a mind that can see a whole lot of things. Some things I don't want to see. Some things I shouldn't see. But then when I see what God sees, amazing things happen in my life. Because then I began to see what he says, see what he says. We were renovating our home in New York City early in our marriage. And the architect came in, and I'm trying to tell him what I want. He doesn't understand this relationship. He don't understand. Because he keeps telling me what he sees. And I keep saying, here, you're not going to live here. So there is a breach in this relationship. Because you are not what understanding what I am saying, nor are you seeing what I say. Until you can get into agreement and see what God says. Because, you know, I was saying, you know, I told that guy, I said, you know what, I tell you what, I don't want this wall. Oh, you must keep this wall. It will maintain the integrity of this building. I said, is this wall holding up anything? I said, somebody else put it up here. I said, if it's not holding up the structure of the building, it's got to go. Oh, no. I'm like, you cannot see. And I told my husband, we need to get rid of him. He can't see what I'm saying. Now, I just hope the Lord is not saying that about you. He keeps trying to tell you something, and you just can't see what he said. You want to do it your own way. You want to keep, no, God. You know. And the Lord is saying, uh-uh, you're not seeing what I'm saying. So do I have to move on to another architect of this dream? And people say, oh, you know what? Oh, girl, I thought of that. Yeah, but what did you do? You didn't have enough sense to receive what God was telling you and begin to move in what he's called you to do. So he says, oh, need another architect. Need another one. Is there one who can see the dream? Is there one who can see what I say? People start to ask, well, Anna, how do you deliver on these dreams? How do you do this? Well, you've got to get yourself in a place where you want to hear him. You want to hear him. You want to find yourself living in the gap, never getting too comfortable in the familiar, but always looking forward to what God wants you to do. So you've got to learn to live in the gap of the two. Living in the gap is always an expectation of what God is getting ready to give you. When he begins to speak to you, he will always get you here. You don't need God to live here. You got it. You got your system. You got your rhythm. It's already, you know, it's an everyday moving. You get up in the morning. You know, that's all in line. But you need God to live in this gap. To live in this space of expectation, of wanting something from him, wanting it so deeply that this is uncomfortable for you. I can't stay here no more. I can't do this one more day. I can't live like this without seeking for my destiny. I know there's greatness in me. People would ask me when I was a little girl, girl, what you gonna be when you grow up? I say, great. I figured whatever I was gonna do, I was gonna be great at it. So you know that greatness is stirring up on the inside of you. But you just keep sitting there, staying comfortable, living in the land of familiar. So let me teach you how to dream again. First thing is you determine, you choose to be a dreamer, not a wisher. The difference is a wisher will look at things they wanted without putting forth the effort. A dreamer, on the other hand, understand that from within themselves come destiny. We're waiting for somebody to open the door, waiting for somebody to say, oh, girl, yeah, I see your gifts. I see your talents. Yeah, you did it. No, destiny comes from within. So you make the decision. Which one will you be today? Will you keep wishing, looking out? No, I wish I had that. That's nice. Ooh. And I'm trying to give you a clue. If you're saying words like this, yes, you are a wisher, because you're looking at what exists. And see, dreamers are always seeking for what does not exist when we talk about in the kingdom come. The Bible says the kingdom is within you, but you got to understand that you've got to get to the place to see it. What kingdom lives within you? What does God want to deliver to the earth realm? What does he want to deliver through you? Why are you here? Pick it out early. Live a great life. Don't wait till you get old and make all these mistakes and then say, I think I was born for something. Make the decision that, yes, you were born for something now, regardless to where you are.
Thank you for listening. That is the end of our show for today. I want to invite you to visit our website at www.womanactnow.com. Find out more about our organization and stay tuned for next week as we will try great steps again. I want to apologize for the technical difficulty that we did have with streaming that on today, but we'll be certain to share it with you on next week. Thank you for listening in. Know that you're loved and appreciated. Make it an awesome day and move forward in purpose.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Real McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Stop, listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Real McCoy!
Hurry,
come and listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Hurry, come and listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. Hurry,
ooh,
come and listen, it's a Real McCoy Show. The Real McCoy.
Come and listen, it's the Real McCoy Show.
Hurry, come and listen, it's the Real McCoy Show.
Hurry, ooh,
come and listen, it's the Real McCoy Show. The Real McCoy.
She's persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose, to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions.
Ooh,
and now, your host,
Anna.
Anna.
The Real McCoy.